Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the joys of having young children has to be the ability to watch them grow and change and discover new things about themselves and about the world in which they live. As they go from sitting to crawling and then to walking, it happens that there are many falls and scratches and even some rather big tears. Parents are, of course, often engaged in encouraging and comforting and once in a while reaching down and picking them up off of the ground. Certainly, it must be about the same for our Heavenly Father as He watches us grow and change and discover new things about ourselves and about the world around us. But sadly, as we go from the simple, trusting faith of a child to the often skeptical, filled with doubt faith of an adult, it happens that we learn and experience some things that just aren't too pleasant. We realize that there are many spiritual pitfalls along the way. We receive some serious cuts and injuries, and there are some very real tears. Peter's mother-in-law lay in the house with a fever. Like demon possession and other sicknesses and maladies, the fever of this woman is a sad reminder of mankind's fallen and sinful condition and their helplessness. Our minds quickly return to the 130th Psalm. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Last week in the text, you heard how Jesus cast out the demon from the man who had appeared in the synagogue. This week, you hear how he deals with a debilitating fever that had come upon Peter's mother-in-law. You hear how he heals all those in the city who were brought to him, and how he was concerned about the people in the towns and villages around that place as well. While studying this text from St. Mark for this sermon, a simple phrase in the text kept catching my attention. It says, "Proseuthon egairein autein kretaises." There's three verbs in a row there, and it literally says, "He, Jesus, came, lifted her, and grasped her hand." Notice how the emphasis of these verbs and the emphasis of this entire text, even in the English, is on what Jesus does. He is the principal actor in this play that is put before us. He is the one who comes to his fallen creation, reaches down and lifts them up out of the muck and mire of their sin and out of the pit of their despair. He is the one who reaches down and comforts them, wipes away their tears, and securely grasps hold of them to bring them to salvation. Some in our world claim that we must come to God, that we must go and seek Him out where He is hiding in order that we can give our heart to Him and accept Him as our Lord. Some others claim that we must follow Jesus' example and live holy and perfect lives in order to please God and to attain our salvation. Some even claim that if we have enough faith, we won't ever get sick, and we can even defy death. They are all wrong. Peter's mother-in-law didn't come to Jesus. That verb in the text, Jesus came to her. She didn't take his hand and get up out of the bed. He took her hand and lifted her up. And it was only after he had restored her and taken away the fever that she could stand on her own and serve them. It is exactly the same when it comes to our conversion and salvation. Jesus does it all from start to finish. Only after He has come to us, lifted us up out of our sin, converted us, forgiven us, and restored us, can we then begin to love and serve others. But it's really easy to get that all mixed up, isn't it? We can be tempted to think that we can love someone without first knowing the love that God has for us. Or we can be led to believe that we can come to Him in faith before He has ever called us. Or maybe we think that our problems are so small that we have no need for a Savior who dies on a cross. Or the other end of the spectrum, our sins are so great that He can't possibly deal with all of them. In these things, we are wrong. The text goes on to say that at evening or at sundown, they brought to Him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. You will remember from last week's text that Jesus and His disciples left the synagogue where they had gone on the day of Sabbath and walked only a necessary few steps to get to Peter's house. You remember that it's unlawful on the Sabbath to travel any great distance. So the people in the towns nearby did not bring their sick or demon-possessed to Jesus during the day of Sabbath, but they had to wait until the sun set, until the day of Sabbath was over and the first day of the week had begun. Just as the people in that day came to Jesus in that house on the first day of the new week, so too do we still come to this house where Jesus is on the first day of the week. We have heard the report that He is present. We have come seeking His healing and forgiveness and His comfort and peace. And He is still present with His people. He is still concerned about their problems. And He still brings healing and freedom and joy and peace. He has come to us in His holy word, in holy baptism, and in His Son's body and blood, things that this world makes light of, but which are the very power of God for our salvation. He has reached down from heaven in human flesh and blood and lifted us up out of our sinful ways and delivered us from destruction. He has grasped hold of us tightly and folded us to His breast, so that we cannot slip or fall away from Him. After rising early in the morning to go and pray, Jesus tells His disciples that He is concerned about those in the other towns and villages nearby. He wants to go to them in order that He could preach there also. For He says, "This is why I came." His preached word is still God's power to convert, to forgive, to heal, and to comfort. And that's why you're here, isn't it? You know the seriousness of your sins. You know the consequences of falling short or of lacking the glory of God. You know that there is no way that you can get out of this pit of despair on your own. But you also know that your God has done something about these things. He has sent His only Son, who Himself was lifted up on the tree of the cross for you and for your salvation. That Son took your demons and your sicknesses, your fever and your sins, and He bore them in His own flesh. He suffered the wrath of God in your place. He suffered the wrath of God that you deserved, so that you could share in the life that belongs to Him. Your God has reached down with His powerful arm and lifted you up. He has not kept a record of your sins, but has granted you His forgiveness. And as we confess, on the last day He will raise me and all the dead, and He will give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. In our weakness, we are strong because Christ lives in us. When we do not know what we ought to pray for, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. When our burden is heavy, He makes it light. When we hunger and thirst, He gives us His own body and blood to eat and drink. Praise the One who breaks the darkness with His liberating light. Praise the One who frees the prisoners, turning blindness into sight. Praise the One who preached the gospel, healing every dread disease, calming storms and feeding thousands, with the very bread of peace. Fellow redeemed in Christ, come again to his altar, eat this bread of peace, drink from the cup of salvation, for these things have been given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.